Okay, today's daf is Samach Tet. We're going to start at Samach Tet, where we ended on Friday, and do Samach Tet. Okay, we've watched them up for the week. Sarach Abba Tovu, Alipnei Rachel Frieda, Rafael Aviv Rachamim Ben Zipara, Roni Bat Zara, Avamuna Bat Chava, Chanalea Bat Freda, Layal Tashara Bat Shoshana Bracha, Shalomi Bat Yonah, Miriam Bat Chaya. V'Liloi Nishmat Rav Tzvi Chaim Ben Leah Etzel, V'Hershut Tzvi Shlomo Chaim Ben Pesach, V'Dina Sarah. Okay, we had, where we ended, we were in the middle of this braita that started at the bottom of Samachet Amud Aleph. We'll just read it quickly so that we remember what we were in. It gave three cases. A seor of truma v'shalchulin shenaflu l'toch ha'isa. Okay, both truma and chulin fall at the same time into the dough. B'zeh kedei lachmitz or b'zeh kedei lachmitz. Each one individually can leaven the mixture, the dough. V'chimtzu, and they, in fact, leavened it. Asur. According to Tanakama, which is... We claim matches Rabbi Meir's shita that it's notain tam lifgam because eventually it's too much leaven in it, and therefore it's a even though it's too much leaven in it, we don't care. It's a sur. Rabbi Shimon matir. Rabbi Shimon says this is mutar. We'll talk about this case in a minute. In the Gemara, they're going to get to this. Nafal shel truma tchila. If the truma falls first, which means that first it was mashbiach, and then what happened? Then eventually the chulim went in. And then it was nifgam, so that's mashbiach v'acharkach nifgam, and therefore divrei hakol asur. In this case, everyone agrees that it's forbidding because first the truma was machmitz the dough in a positive way. Now fal shel chulin v'acharkach shel truma, but the reverse, where when the truma falls in, it's only pogam, it's only bad. O shel kelei akerem, or it was truma or kelei akerem, whatever it was something asur. V'Rabbi Shimon matir. So what were they trying to prove from this? They were trying to prove that here you see that in a classic case of notain tam lifgam, there was a machlok at Rabbi Yochanan and Ula. Classic case of notain tam lifgam is that where there's a machlok at Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Shimon, which was what Rabbi Yochanan said, and this proves it, versus Ula, who says everyone agrees notain tam lifgam is mutar. Rabbi Meir is only disagreeing on the case where it was first mashbiach, Ula vasov pagam. So then they say here, the Gemara, going now, switching to where we're up to, we're about eight lines from the top. Hane tlata bava dekatane lamali. Why do we need all three cases of this braita? Bishlama bava de seifa. We understand the last case because that's exactly what we needed. Kamashma, and it's coming to teach us. Bipogemi ikara machloket. That there's a machloket in classic case of notain tam lifgam. Right, where the chametz went, where the seor of truma fell in second, and it was only pogam. And there we see there's a machloket. Mitziat hanami, the middle case also, we understand why they need to tell you that, because that was a case of hishbiach, first they put the truma in, and then ulevasof pagam, and the chidush is that even Rabbi Shimon, who's matir, in a case of notain tam lifgam, would say that in this case, divrei hakol asur, which by the way proves... Talk about this after class the other day. We had a question about Rabbi Yochanan. He says, notain tam lifgam is a machloket. But he doesn't say, what about hishbiach ulevasof pagam? So if we use this to prove, right, and we said it was a teku, we don't know, is it a machloket, or does everyone agree that it's a sur? And in the end, you see from this source, even though the Gemara doesn't point it out, you see from this source that he would hold only in notain tam lifgam is a machloket, but in... And that's assuming this source is Rabbi Yochanan, right? We don't really know. That's why I guess they don't use it to prove. We don't really know. But since this bright to support Rabbi Yochanan, you could claim that this shows notain tam lifgam is a machloket, and ishbiach ulevasof pagamo, that's going to be for sure divrei hakol asur. So we understand the seifa and the mitziata, the middle case. But ela reisha, but the case where they both fall at the same time, they tell us it's a machloket. Lamali, what do you need this machloket for? In the case where, if you're focusing on Shitat Tanakama, you're going to say that in the case where they think it's Usr, in the case where Notain Tam Lifgam, and there's no Shevach at all, right, and they still say it's Usr, so Reisha de Kamashbach Mebaya, in the Reisha, when you first put the Truma in together with the Chulin, and it starts being Machmitz the dough, so of course it's going to be usur. So what's the chidush? So in that case, Mibaya, you're going to need to bring us that case. So Amar Abaye, Reisha the Rabbi Shimon Itzdrich, we needed to show that Rabbi Shimon's matir even in that case. The Hachi Ka'amri Le Rabbanan the Rabbi Shimon. And here's how we've used the discussion between them. The Rabbanan would say to Rabbi Shimon like this, Isa zo ruya lach mitzvah shteshaut. Mi garam la shetach mitzvah sha'achat, isur. going to say, what happened when you put that truma and chulin together? It's true that the chulin itself could have been machmitz l'isa. But what happens when you put more leavening agents into the dough? It's going to rise much quicker, and that's always beneficial because, you know, even in those days, I guess people were busy, wanted their dough to rise quicker. Okay, so they're going to say, clearly the isur helped things move along quicker, even though ultimately the whole thing got ruined, right? Because it was too much. But in the beginning, when it first goes in, right, it's like that. So what caused it to do it? The isur. So Rabbi Shimon, what's he going to say? Why is he matir in this case? Because you would think, it seems more obvious in this case it would be asur, because originally it went in together with the chulin and started the process and leavened it quickly. Rabbi Shimon, kishbichu shneim ishbichu, kishepagmu shneim pagmu. Rabbi Shimon says, you can't say that it was the truma that was mashbiach, because it was the truma together with the chulin that was mashbiach. And in the end, it was the truma together with the chulin that was pogem. So therefore, you see sort of that the truma was a non-player here, sort of. Where it's like, we've seen before, zeveze goreim, when two things work together. In fact, some of the Mefarshim say, how could Tanna Kamma even think that it's asur? Because it's zeveze goreim, and how do you work that out with zeveze goreim? Where, you know, two things, one thing doesn't actually cause it by itself. Anyway, I'm going to leave that question to the side. But Rabbi Shimon basically says, they're both working together, in which case you can't say that the truma really on its own was mashbiach. Le Rabbi Shimon, so now they say, wait. But the Rabbi Shimon, litzar ketev isur v'hadi adad evi litzar. But still, according to Rabbi Shimon, even though it was together, still, let's put it this way, it was together. In other words, it's true, the truma was part of the process. So why should you say that it's mutar? So they say, Rabbi Shimon l'tame, da'amar afilu isur v'isur nami lo mitzarfe. Rabbi Shimon goes l'shitato, because he views, even if it's isser v'isser together, and there's not enough of a shior within each one, and now we're going to assume that what's the issue? The whole issue is when you put them in together, they quicken the process. Now, each one, it's true, each one could have been machmitz on its own, but they couldn't have quickened the process together. I'm sorry, without the other, each individually. And he holds, when it comes to, in a separate issue, when it comes to isur and isur together, if neither one is enough of a shior to do it, he doesn't view it, even if they're both asur. In this case, obviously, one is asur, one is mutar, so you could say maybe it wouldn't be osur. But even in isur v'isur together, he doesn't view them as mitzdarif. Even though you know there's enough of a shear of isur in there. What's the case? Ditznan ha'orla v'kilei akerem mitzdarfim. If you have a bit of orla and a bit of kilei akerem together, and together they make up a shior, they're mitzdarif. Okay, what we're talking about is if they fell into a mixture, and they're both... Both of those cases are batel, 1 in 200. Okay, we've talked about batel b'shishim, and that some is batel b'mea, some things batel b'matayim. So these are batel b'matayim. So let's say you don't have enough to be of each one individually to be you have, but if you have, and as in theory, there's, let's say, 1 in 200, so it's going to be canceled. But if you have both of them together, then it would be asur. Okay? But Rabbi Shimon Omer, Ein Mitzdarfin, we view each one individually compared to the mixture. And therefore, he views here the Isra and Isra aren't Mitzdarif, and therefore it would be obvious, he would say, the Isra and Heter also wouldn't be Mitzdarif, and that's why he views this as Mutar in this case, because he's going to view it ultimately as the Truma ultimately gave it Pgam, and we don't care that in the beginning it was Mashbiach, because it was only Mashbiach together with the other, the Chulin that it fell in with, and we don't put Isser and Heter together when we measure. We certainly don't, right, and we don't put Isser and Isser together, so we certainly aren't going to combine the Heter in this. Okay, now we're going to get into interesting eating, or maybe unpleasant eating things. Hau achbara, okay, and a mouse falls into, or I don't know if an achbar here means a mouse or a rat, I guess a mouse, falls into a barrel, a chavit de shichra, a barrel of beer. So it happened. Okay, there was a mouse, fell into the barrel of beer. Now, what would you think? No tentam lefgam, right? A mouse is going to obviously make it disgusting.
There are a lot of reasons, actually, why.
Yes. Right. You might not want to. Anyway, asrei rav lahu shichra. Rav said this is forbidden, even though no tentam lefgam, basically, you would think. So, amru rabbanan kamei de rav sheshet. So, rabbis came before rav sheshet. Neima kasavar no tentam lefgam asur. Maybe this is a proof that no tain tam lefgam, which is clearly is, or maybe it's not, but right now it seems clearly that no tain tam lefgam is asur. I think the assumption I assume here is that they took the mouse out, right? There was only, it fell in, it gave some flavor. They took it out, but it still had the taste in it. Amar li Rav Sheshet, Ba'al Masava Rav, no tain tam lefgam mutar. Rav Sheshet says, Rav clearly holds no tain tam lefgam is mutar. Remember where we started. We started with saying, we paskin no tain tam lefgam is mutar. And then they said, well, doesn't everyone agree that, right? And then they said, oh no, there's a disagreement. And then we said, well, why isn't it in the Mishnah if there's a disagreement? And then they tried to show a source where it was in the Mishnah. And then they had a whole machloket, right, about when no tain tam lefgam mutar. Is there a machloket? I'm sorry. There was a machloket, no tain tam lefgam mutar asur. Is that in any case? Or is that in only yishbiyahu levasof gamo? So again, we're still struggling with this, right? Maybe he holds no tain tam lefgam is asur. So Marlu Rav Sheshet, no. Clearly Rav holds no tain tam lefgam is mutar. What's the issue here? The hacha, okay, we're assuming that this mouse is one of the shmona shratzim, okay? It's categorized as one of the eight creatures that we can't eat. And the hacha chidushu, these laws of shmona shratzim is a chidush. Deha mimas mais, because they're disgusting and no one in their right mind would ever eat them. Okay? Ubedile in shemine. Okay? And people stay far away from these. Nobody in their right mind would eat it, Jewish, not Jewish, okay? Anyone who's gone to the Far East or places like that, people actually do eat bugs and things like this. But right now they're gonna assume maybe it's a chidush and nobody would ever in their right mind eat it. Vafilu hachi asra rachmana. And yet the Torah still forbade it. So therefore, what are we trying to say? Why did the Torah forbid something that obviously no one would ever eat? Because it's a chidush, and what's the chidush they're going to say now? Hilkach no tein tam lefgam nami asur. We're going to say that no tein tam lefgam is always mutar, except for when there's a special chidush. The chidush is that these things are forbidden even if they give bad taste to your food. Okay? That's what the Gemara is saying here, Rav Sheshet is saying. That's the chidush. So yes, it's true no tain tam lefgam is generally asur. And it's generally mutar. This is a case of no tain tam lefgam. However, it's unique because it's relating to the shmona shratzim and they're a chidush, because otherwise the Torah wouldn't need to tell us. Why is the Torah telling us? To teach us that even if they're giving bad taste to something, it's asur. Amri le Rabbanan le Rav Sheshet. But wait, Rav Sheshet, how could you say this? Elameata li tame lach v'yavesh. If you're saying this has nothing to do with whether people are going to eat it or not eat it, then the Shmona Shratzim, this whole thing of Shmona Shratzim is not only their usher to eat, they're also mitame. Now when things are mitame, they should be mitame if they're foods, or we'll see, not even foods, but something that's alive, let's say, it should be mitame in a way where it's still kind of alive, where it's lach. But if it's yavesh, dried out, okay, like it's dead and it's dried out already, then you would think it wasn't even edible to begin with, so it's not going to be mitame either. So therefore, I'm sorry, if you say it has to do with that it's a food substance, then you're going to say it's lach and not yavesh. But if you're going to say it has to do with this chidush, and it's a chidush, even if it's no tain tam lefgam, then the equivalent in tuma would be that it's mitame, not only lach, but also yavesh, also if it's like dead. So alama tnan mitamin lachim ve'em mitamim yaveshim. We see it says that they're mitame lach, they're not mitame yavesh. So according to this, it doesn't make sense what you're saying. If it's a chidush, it should be mitame yavesh also. So they say, v'litamech. So here's Rosh Hashanah's response. V'litamech, shichvat zera, that's why I said, it's not only food, but also semen. Titame lach v'yavesh, it should also be lach and yavesh. Because according to this, right, it's also a chidush, the shichvat zera is mitame. And therefore, if you're using the din of chidush, and you're saying, once you have chidush, and you take it out of the element of regular use of things, then we're going to say, chidush is, it's mitame, right, even if it's not tintam lefgam, it's going to be mitame, even, it's going to be osir, a food substance, no tintam, even if it's not tintam lefgam, and it's also going to be mitame, lach or yavesh. And why does it say, v'shichvat zera? So according to your logic that you're questioning me, it should also be lach v'yavesh, and alama tana mitamin lachim ve'em mitamim yaveshim. So ela mai lach lemeimar shichvat zera amar rachmana biruya lahazria hachanami bimotam. Both by shichvat zera and by shratzim, there's psukim. The wording in the psukim teaches you that it's only things that are live, like a shichvat zera, because it says zera, it has to be biruya lahazria, has to be lach. It can't be dried out where it can't even reproduce. And by the shratzim, it says, the pasuk is, where the pasukim here? No, it's not here in my Gemara. One second. The pasuk is, v'chol asher yipol av mehem bimotam yitma. Okay? What does it mean, in their death? It means as they're dying. As things are dying, they're still lach. So he says, gzeret akatuv, this thing about tuma, you can't ask a question for me, because it's gzeret akatuv that it's metame only when it's lach. Has nothing to do with our issue. So he rejects the question in that way. But now we have another question. This is going to be an interesting question, I think, for most of us. Umi mice, is it really disgusting? V'halo, if you're talking about this achbar, and you're saying this achbar was mice, and therefore it's all din chidush, right? And once we have din chidush, what does he say? Well, then the chidush is that even if it's not titam lefkam, it's going to be asur, even though generally something that makes a bad taste is mutar. V'halo olel shulcham alachim. But what do you mean? Kings eat this food. Okay, it's like we said, in the Far East, people eat bugs, okay? People eat mice. In other words, you go to fancy king's tables and they actually do have it. It's a delicacy.
Particularly marinated in beer.
Yes. Amar Shimi Minahar Dea. This is strange because he asked the question. So most people say there's a problem with the girsa. It's somebody else. Lokashya haba de dabra haba de mato. All I can think of this book growing up with the country mouse and the city mouse, right? Okay. So apparently, right, I don't, do you know which is which? So the country mouse is edible in Zolel Shulchan Malachim, people eat it. And the one from the city, Demata, the one from the city, nobody eats, it's disgusting. Okay? I don't know why there's a difference between
the city one lives in the sewers and eats maybe. The sewers.
Maybe.
Right,
the country mouse
is.
Okay, yafeh. So, Amar Rava. Okay, so that's. So we now have this mahalach that. Okay, we have the. It's a chidush, according to Rav Sheshet, and because it's a chidush, even no tam lefgam is going to be asur, but generally, no tam lefgam is mutav. Okay, and we resolve the contradiction here between by saying one is a city, one is country. Amarava, hilchata, no, now we're going to have two other possible explanations of this. Hilchata, no tam lefgam is mutar. Okay, it's actually mutar, like we said. The ach barabba shichra lo yadana my time in derav. He says, but I don't know why Rav asked this achbar in the beer. Imishum the kasavar no ten tam lifgam asur v'leitel chatakavate. Maybe he actually held that no ten tam lifgam is asur, and we just don't hold like him. It's possible, one possibility, which would mean then if we have an achbar in beer, we actually can drink it. V'imishum the kasavar no ten tam lifgam mutar v'achbar b'shichra echshbuchei mishbach. Or maybe we say that actually the achbar in beer does actually give it good flavor, okay? And that maybe that's why he was oser. Ibai Elihu. So now they ask a question. Okay, we don't have an answer exactly to this, but those are three possibilities of viewing why Rav ostered it, okay? So now they ask a question. Nafal lego chala. What if it fell into chometz? Okay, the assumption is the chometz, Rashi says, chometz is very harif. It's very strong flavor. So maybe the mouse would be usher in the shechar, but maybe it wouldn't be usher in the chometz, because maybe its taste gets lost in the strong flavor of the chometz. Amar le Rav Hillel le Rav Ashi, haba uvda be Rav Kahana, va usher Rav Kahana. There was a case in the house of Rav Kahana, and he forbade it. Okay, in other words, he didn't say, oh, right, it's overwhelmed by the chometz, and you don't taste it. But actually it is, and you can't say Rav Kahana says no tein tam lefgam is asur, because he said earlier, if you remember, he was the first one who started this, and says the halacha is that no tein tam lefgam is mutar. So he obviously ushered it, because he thought it gave flavor. Amar lei, hahu, so they say, no, that's not because it was no tein tam lefgam, because it gives, maybe it gives no tein tam lefshvach, but it's because, hahu, imartet, imartate. Okay, what does that mean? This case with Rav Kahana was where the mouse was cut up into pieces, right? We said before, it's likely they took the mouse out, right? And it was just the flavor was in the beer. But in this case, where it fell into this vinegar, it had been chopped up into pieces, and therefore you were worried there were actually pieces of it in it, and that's why he forbade it. But not because of the flavor, necessarily. Ravina Savar Lishiuri Bimea Vachad. Okay, so now we don't really have an answer. What if it falls into vinegar? So now we have a debate among the rabbis what to do with this. So Ravina thought to say that it should be 1 in 100. In other words, not classic 1 in 60, but that the mouse actually gives strong flavor, and therefore would only be canceled out, right? What, again, when is it no tain tam? So if it's 1 in 100, 1 to 100 of the vinegar, that already will overwhelm the mouse and you won't taste. Amar lo garami truma. He says it's no worse than truma, detnan, truma ole bechadumea, and therefore we're going to treat it like truma. Amar le raftachli fabergiza le Ravina. Dilma kitavlin shel truma bigdera dami. Dilo batil ta'amayu. Now most people say you don't even read this word truma, or even if it says truma, it doesn't mean specifically truma. They were using truma because they were talking about truma before. But what they mean is if you have a spice that's a sur for whatever reason, it's actually tricky to say it's a spice of truma because spices aren't chayav and truma namasra. It would have to be a spice. When are spices chayav and truma namasra? I don't know if you know this. If you have vegetables growing outside or leaves and things like that. If they're leaves that you eat as food, like lettuce leaves or spinach leaves or things like that, then you have to take truma namasra on them. If there are spices like basil, oregano, all that type of stuff, then you don't, because you don't actually eat them. You just use them for flavoring. So it's havlin shel truma. Right? I saw a commentary that said, we're talking about onions and garlic, where they're actually vegetables that are spicing it. The point is, what's unique about spices? They say spices, lo batil tamayu, think about it. You put a teeny drop of spices in something, it gives it strong flavor. Spices are a very concentrated flavor. So they're never canceled. There's no dini mabito by spices. So they're saying, let's treat the mouse like tavlinim, because the assumption was the mouse was such strong flavor that it's never batil ta'amayim. Rav Achai Shi'er b'chala b'chamshin, he says, no, if it falls into vinegar, it's 1 in 50. He dafka goes the opposite direction, that it's less strong. Rav Shmuel b'reid Rav Ika Shi'er b'shichra b'shitin, he said if it falls into, now they have different, right, if it falls into vinegar, it's b'chamishim. If the other rabbi says if it falls into beer, it's shishim. V'hilchata, and the halacha is, and here's a very important line, idi v'idi b'shitin, right, there, any, whether if it falls into vinegar, it falls into beer, right, whether you, the other people who said a chalumea, never, no. The halacha is 1 in 60. Okay, that's the halacha, and here comes the important line. V'chein kol isurin shebetorah. And likewise, all things in the Torah are batel b'shishim, okay? Other than the ones that aren't, right? Okay. Now, Rashi has a very important line here. And if you remember, we had this whole thing about min b'mino is b'mashu. Remember, based on the Gemara we're going to see in a few dapim? We had a whole debate. Is that only yenesech, right? Or is it other things also? So Rashi says here, the halacha is b'shishim, v'chein halacha rovacha, demin b'she'eno mino b'shishim. He says this is only min b'she'eno mino. Chutz mi-chametz, obviously the one exception, okay, what we're dealing with this week is chametz. Aval min b'mino mukmina b'psachim, hilchita b'mashu. It says, based on this Gemara in Psachim, we're going to see that min b'mino, the halacha is b'mashu, ki rav, like Rav says there. And b'tam ha-mishrim d'kol yisurin t'rva Torah, min b'mino b'mashu ki rav. U'b'chametz, they made a gzera, she'eno mino atu mino. Okay, by chametz, they were machmir and said, and here's his logic for why chametz is also b'mashu, that since min b'mino is asher b'mashu, we're going to basically say even min b'she'eno mino, so that people don't come to eat min b'mino b'shishim. But Rabbeinu Tam totally disagrees with this and says, no. Min b'mino, min b'she'eno mino is batel b'shishim. And in fact, that's how we paskin. Okay, right? If you know, dine kashrut, nobody says that min b'mino, min b'she'eno mino. We always generally say it's batel b'shishim. So it's a very interesting machloka Rashi Tosfot here. Okay, new Mishnah. We're done with the kashrus related issues. Now we're getting back to Yei Nesach. Oved kochavim shayam ma'avir Yisrael kadei yayim imakom lemakom. What this means is he's carrying the kadim of the Yisrael from place to place, okay, the kadei yayin. Im haya b'chezkat ha-mishtamer mutar. If there was someone watching and, you know, there was someone making sure he didn't open it, we'll talk about what exactly this means, that it's b'chezkat ha-mishtamer, then it's mutar, okay? But im hodi oshehu maflig, if the person who was presumably watching him said, listen, I'm going off on my own, okay, I'll come back soon, then what's the shi'ur that we, in a, there's a sense, he needs, in order to open it, remember, these are sealed, so in order to open it and reseal it, or let's say poke a hole in it, take some wine, right, do the nesech, and then seal it up, so the question is, how much time is it going to take for him to do that? Or what are we assuming he can do that he can then cover up? So the Tanakhama says, we're concerned that he might, Kadeshi Yishtom, he'll make a hole in it, V'yistom, right? It's like a play on words. Yishtom v'yistom. He can make a hole in it, cover up the hole, v'yigov, and kind of, what's the, how they translate yigov?
It'll dry.
Right, it'll dry. Okay, so in other words, he opens, makes a hole, covers it up with some substance. We'll talk about what substance in the Gemara. And then it'll dry. Okay, so if that amount of time passes, he could have basically done the nisuch, covered it up, and we wouldn't notice. That's the shiur. Rashbag omer, no, it's not enough. Just, we're not worried he's going to make a hole and close up the hole. Why not? Because if you make a hole and close it up, it's noticeable. You can see. Okay? So we're not worried he's going to do that. What are we, yes, worried he's going to do that won't be noticed? Rashbag omer, kadesh yiftach et hachavit. He's going to totally take off the cover, right, like the cork, okay, or whatever kind of stopper they had. He'll open it up, v'yigov, v'tigov. He's then going to seal it up again, and then he's going to, it'll dry. Okay, so it's something that's going to take a lot longer, because to do that is a longer process. So Rashbag basically is mekel, because he says a longer time period can pass, and we're not as worried that he's going to do it, right? We're only worried he's going to do something that's going to take him a longer period of time. Haminiach yeno bekaron o besfina. He leaves his wine in a wagon or a boat, or he puts it in there. V'halachlo, in other words, and then the non-Jew takes it off. V'halachlo bekapandaria, and he takes a shortcut to get to the same place. Nichnas lemedina v'rachatz mutar. Even if he goes off on his own for a while, goes into the town, goes into the bathhouse, and then comes back, it's mutar. Okay, because what's the assumption? Even though he took the shortcut way, the non-Jew, and he went into the city, and he went to the bathhouse, and it took a while, but the non-Jew doesn't know, right? He says, you go that way, I'm going this way. The non-Jew has no idea when he's arriving, and therefore, he's always on guard, and he's not going to have enough time to do anything. V'im hodi oshu mafleeg. Okay, but if he tells him, one second, I lost my spot. Yeah, okay. Kadesh yishtom v'yishtom v'yigov. Okay, so then if he tells him he's going off, then already we have to worry that he's going to do something. And again, Tanakhama says it's yishtom v'yishtom v'yigov, in case he makes a hole in it. Rashbag omer, kadesh yiftach etachavi v'yigov v'tigov. Okay, it's the second shiur. Haminei chovei kochavim b'chanut. He leaves the non-Jew in the chanut with this stuff. Mutar, even though he goes out and comes back in, it's mutar, because again, the non-Jew has no idea when he's coming back. But if he says, I'm going away for a while, again, obviously the Gemara is going to say, why do you bring all these cases? If you invite the non-Jew to your house and you're eating with him in your house, you leave some jugs on the table and some are off to the side, like on a buffet table. Type thing, or a side table. V'nichov yatza, and he leaves him, and he walks out of his house and leaves the non-Jew there. Masha ala shulchan asur. We're assuming if he's in your house, eating at your house, and you opened your table to him, he's only going to eat what's on the table. He's not going to start going to the side and taking wine that you didn't set aside for him. Shala dulbaki mutar. Okay, whatever's on the dulbaki is going to be mutar. V'ma marlo, but if he said to him, heve mozeg v'shoteh, you leave the house and you say, listen, you can pour your, you know, again, mozeg is probably to make the mixture. You can dilute the wine and drink as you please. Afshala dulbaki asur. Then the assumption is, even though you really weren't inviting him to eat all the dulbaki, but he might feel much more comfortable and flexible in your house, and he might eat what's on the dulbaki. And therefore, you can't, you know, he might go over to that wine, and therefore you have to worry that maybe he did nisu. Chaviot ptuchot asurot. If you have open barrels, they're asur, because they were worried. Stumot mutarot. But if they're sealed, they're mutar. Kadesh yiftach v'yigov, v'yigov v'tigov. Right, again, if they're sealed, then it's only if the time elapsed that they could have opened them, sealed them up, closed them, sealed them, and they would dry. Okay, now the Gemara is going to say, Hechi dami b'chezkat ha-mishtemer. What does it mean exactly? We started off and said, if it was b'chezkat ha-mishtemer mutar, what exactly does that mean? Kiditanya. Harei shayuch ha-marav u'po'alav tu'unin taharot. Okay, we're going to take a braita from taharot, and we're going to explain it's the same thing here. What's the issue with taharot? You have amei ha'aretz that are handling your stuff. Right? At what point can we assume that maybe they came in contact with Tuma and they were metama your stuff or let other people touch your stuff? So, if the people working for you were taking your taharot, your things that were tahor, afilu hiflig mehen yoter mimil, even if you distance yourself, okay, a meal generally we say it takes about 18 minutes to walk a meal, so even if you distance yourself an 18-minute walk away, tarotav tahorot, okay, your taharot are still Torot. You don't have to worry that they were Matanya. V'mamar lahen l'chuv ani ba'acharechem. But if you say, go up ahead and I'll come after you, then you're already kind of telling them, well, I'll be a while behind you. Kevan shenit al ma'ino mehem. As soon as he can't see them anymore, tahotav tume'ot. Because we assume that they're going to be, well, we're actually going to ask in a second what really the difference between the two cases are. So we have one case is you're going with them, but you can be at a distance of an 18-minute walk away. And the other says, as soon as, right, if you say, I'm coming after you, then as soon as you can't see them anymore, you have to worry that maybe that they became tame.
Sounds like a notice issue.
A notice, like
you told them in one case, right, you fallen behind, or
right,
behind a walk.
Exactly.
Behind.
So that's possible. We'll see. Maishna resha, maishna sefer. What's the difference? Am Rav Yitzchak resha b'mitaher chamaravu po'al avlekach. Resha is when he made sure that they were all tahor before they started on the journey. He toveled them and he made sure everything was tahor, and that's why. So then they say, yachi sef hanami. If you're saying that's what the resha is, the sefer, you can also assume that he was mitaher all of them. So why? Still doesn't make any sense. So they say, no, because ein ama'aretz makpira magachaveiro. It's not that we're worried about them touching it, it's that we're worried that they'll let other people come in contact with it. And that's why the seifa is a problem. So they say, ihach afilu resha nami, and as we're going to have this back and forth, every time they give an answer, they're going to say, well, that could apply as equally to the other case. So if you're going to say, the issue is not that they touch it, because they're all tahorim, the issue is maybe they'll let someone else come in contact with it. Well, then, should it matter, resha or seifa? Either which way, you can't see, and you don't know who's touching, so either which way. So Amarava bibalahem derech hakalaton. It's where he kind of, you know, bumps into them. It's like a mashgiach who comes at inopportune times. Okay? Ihachi seifanami. So why don't you say the seifa is the same thing, where he says, you go and I'll come after you. Maybe also he's going to come b'derech hakalaton, like in a, you know, a windy way, and sort of just scare them and say, oh, look, I'm here, you know, and always kind of, or they're worried that he might show up at any time. So the seifa also. So why should it be mutar? So now it's like what Ruth said, which is kevanda amar lehem, because he said to them, lechuv ani ba'acharechem sam chadatayu. They're not worried he's going to all of a sudden pop up, because he's saying, I'm going to come after you, and as you go up ahead, and I'll follow you. Okay, but the assumption is when he's saying I'll follow you, he means in a little while. So they're not worried in the beginning that he's going to, and they might end up touching it. So that's when they say, b'chazkana mishtamer, it must mean not a case where he said, you go and I'll go after you. It would have to be a case where he's following them and he's within 18-minute walk, okay? And because, right, and that's the amount of space he can be distance from them, because then he could sort of jump up on them at any point. Hamineach oved kochavim b'chanuto and hamineach yeno b'karon u'b'spina v'chule. Utsricha, you need both these cases, both the chanut and the karon or the spina. Why? De'itana oved kochavim de'savar dil ma'ate v'chazile. Right? If you had the chanu case, you would say, well, maybe there he could come and appear. But in the karon or the sfina, the guy could say, listen, I'm out on the water. I'll just go far off, and there's no way he'll see what I'm doing. I'll do whatever I want in the boat, and we won't have any way of knowing. V'itana b'karon u'b'sfina, you might say, mishum desavar dil ma'ate ba'orcha achrite, v'kaya guda v'chazele. There's a concern that maybe if you're in a boat or a karon, maybe he'll go to some point, like the banks of the river, or some people say it's even he stood on a wall. A guda could be a wall, or it could be the banks of the river. So maybe he stood on a wall and could look out into the sea, or look where the karon is, and see him doing what he's doing. Because the assumption is the karon or the sfina were open, and they were chasuf, and you could see. What's the difference between that and the chanut? But the store, you can close the door, and no one can look into the store, assuming he has window shades or something, right? He can close it all up. No one could look in and see what he's doing. Even if the guy's close by, he won't see what's happening. And therefore, it teaches you even there, right? We're going to treat these both as the same type of case. Now we're going to talk about what kind of material are we concerned about that they're going to be using. I'm a rabbi, Bar Baruch Hanan, I'm a rabbi Yochanan. Machloket, the machloket between Tanakama and Rishim ben Gamliel about whether it's, we're worried about him making a hole, right? But we're not worried, we're worried about him making a hole. Or Rashbagu says, no, we're not worried about the hole. We're only worried he's going to open it and then reseal it. The machloket is bishel seed. If they're using like a plaster, like a white kind of lime. Aval bishel teat, but if it was tar, which is darker, Divrei hakol kadesh shivtach v'yigov v'yigov. There, even Tanakama would agree that we're not worried he's going to make a hole, because why? When you make a hole with tar and then you reseal it, the tar is dark and then the stuff around it is lighter. It gets lighter over time. So it'll be very noticeable, the color difference. If it's all white, white is white. Okay, now maybe people could argue with this, but the assumption is with the white, it's not noticeable at all. And that's why Tanakama thinks he can make a hole and seal it up and no one would notice. Okay, so the machloka between them, there's a machloka about the white, whether the hole might be noticeable but not sealing it. But Bishaltit, everyone agrees that it'll be noticeable if you make this hole, and therefore we're not worried about that. We're only worried, Shivtach v'yigof v'yigof. Meitive. Now they spring a question to this. They bring a source where there's a discussion between Rashbag and Chachamim. Amar Rashbag l'Chachamim. V'halo, there's a machloka whether there's a difference of gears. Is it stumo or shitumo, which is making that hole? But either which way, the making the hole and then sealing it, nikar beimi lamala beimi lamata. Whether you do it at the top, and the Rashbag says to Chachamim, but they're going to notice this hole that you make, right? I don't know why you think it's okay to make this hole. It's going to be noticeable either at the top or at the bottom. Now, what do we want to use? This, remember, we said the only machloka between them is with tea, not with the seed. With the seed, everyone agrees. So we're going to assume this is about teat. So iamaret bishlama, if you're going to say it's bishal teat machloket, hainu dekatani situmonikar stumonikar bemilamala bemilamata. If you say it was teat, that's why Rashbag is saying if you make that hole, it's going to be noticeable either at the top or at the bottom. And la iamaret bishal seed machloket, if you say the machloket's about seed, bishlama lamata yedia, it'll be noticeable at the bottom if you make it at the bottom of the barrel. Elalamala halo yedia, but at the top of the barrel, no one's going to notice it. It's not noticeable because in the assumption, now I don't 100% understand the reality here, we're at the bottom exactly, we're talking about what the issue is. The assumption is at the top of the barrel, you can smooth it all out very easily and it can be smoothed out to look exactly the same if it's all white. But at the bottom, maybe because there's wine there, you can't exactly smooth it out at the bottom. Maybe also, I'm not sure 100% actually the reality of this, but there's an assumption that the bottom can't be smoothed out as well as the top, and therefore, if it's white, it'll be noticed at the bottom. And therefore, he says, Beimi lamala, beimi lamata could only be if we're talking about teat and not about seed. And that proves, one second.
I don't understand how they can make a hole anywhere except for the top.
Right. So what kind of hole are they making at the bottom? Right. Right.
Yeah,
so that's puncture, right. I guess you can make a puncture and then close it back up again.
Then everything would come out.
I don't know if it's the bottom or toward the bottom.
But
in other words, underneath.
Anything right. Down below, the pressure of the liquid would.
Right. Would seep out. Yeah. I'm not 100% sure of the reality here. So according to this, it sounds like that it's the machloket is bishaltit and not bishalseed. And he tried to say the machloket was b'seed and not b'shaltit. But shaltit, everyone would agree. So therefore, Rabbi Shimon, and then Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, so they say like this, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, hu delo yada maika amar rabbanan. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel didn't really know what the rabbis were trying, what their opinion was based on. V'hachi ka'amar, and this is what he was saying. Ibishaltit ka'amaritu stumonikar b'milamala b'milamata. If you say it was teat, so then it'll be noticeable whether it's at the top or whether it's at the bottom. And if you said it's going to be, you know, with lime, nihida lamala lo yedia, lamata mia yedia. If you think that milamala, no one will notice it, but milamata, Now, that's what he was trying to say is, halo stumoni kar be milamala be milamata. What he's saying is, even if you say, maybe you won't notice it at the top, you will definitely notice it at the bottom. And therefore, you could still say the machloket was bishel seed. For Rabbanan, and what's Rabbanan's response to this? Okay, one answer is, since it won't be noticed at the top, no one will think to turn over the barrel or look at the bottom of it to try to figure out, is there a hole at the bottom and did he open it at the bottom? No one's even going to suspect. Inami zimnin dechalim. Or maybe even at the bottom, it could somehow be smoothed out. Okay, maybe the wine smooths it out, or maybe, I'm not sure exactly the reality of this, but maybe it would be smoothed out even at the bottom, and therefore that's the discussion between them, and therefore it could be that their machloket is b'shal seed only. Amar Rava, halacha kirashbag, ho'il utnan stama kavate. Rava says the halacha is kirashbag, because our Mishnah gives a stam case like Rashbag. Now, where did the Mishnah give a stam case? Didn't we have all these machlokot in the Mishnah? Right? But if you remember, at the end of the Mishnah, it gave a case that was a stam case and it held like Rashbag. How so? Titnan, haya ochel ala shuchanimo, if he was eating with a non-Jew, v'iniach lagin ala shuchan, lagin ala dubaki, v'iniach v'yatza, masha al shuchan asur, masha ala dubaki mutar, v'imamar lo, heve mozeg v'shote, afsha ala dubaki asur. But that's not so relevant yet. I don't know why they brought that whole thing. But chaviyot ptuchot or asurot, okay, but if they were open, they're going to be asur. Stumot mutarot, the stumot and mutarot, in which case, kadeshi iftach v'yigov v'tigov. And there you have the stam line in the Mishnah says specifically the shiur that Rashbag gives, that you have to be able to open it, close it, and reseal it, and we're not worried about them making a hole. So now the Gemara says, well, if the Stam Mishnah says this, well, then Pshita, why does Rava need to tell us halachas kirashbag because the Stam Mishnah holds like this? It's obvious. So they say, no, mau detema, you might want to say that what? That whole end of the Mishnah, kulu rashbag katanela. It's all Rashbag talking. Now, the Mishnah was set up as Tanakama Rashbag, Tanakama Rashbag, Tanakama Rashbag. And then the last case is just Stam. But they, and that's why Rava is saying, oh, the last case is Stam. And therefore, we see, we hold like Rashbag, because the last case, which is Stam, not Sebetheni Machloket, and just one opinion, is Rashbag's opinion, so therefore we pass them like Rashbag. So why is that not obvious? Because they're saying, maybe you read the Mishnah as, Rashbag said the line before this section, and then the whole continuation is just Rashbag talking. But obviously, Tanakama would disagree, and therefore, maybe the Mishnah isn't coming to tell us, oh, we're saying this in Stam because we paskin this way. It's just continuing in Rashbag's opinion. So Rava comes to tell you, no, it's not. Don't think that. It's not actually continuing in Rashbag's opinion, but it's actually just giving you Rashbag's opinion as the Stam, meaning we agree with this. V'chime achar dekaimelan kavate de Rashbag, delo chayish l'shtume, v'hilchata kavate de Rabbi Lezer, delo chayish l'ziyufe. Here we're ending on a very interesting note. Last part for today. Since we know the halakha is like Rashbag here, that we have this longer period of time that we can let it be in the non-Jew's hands. And we paskin like Rabbi Lezer in a different case from the beginning of the Masechet, to lo chayish l'ziyufa. This is nice when the Gemara kind of brings things together. We're not choshesh for ziyuf, you remember? We're not worried he's going to redo your seal. Remember, if you have it sealed, we're not worried he's going to take it and redo your seal. We have the whole thing with the double seal and the single seal and all that. So we paskin like Rabbi Lezer that we're not worried he's going to be mizayef your seal. As ha'idna, nowadays, my time alone between Khamar be out of de kochavim. Why can't we give non-Jews wine? Why are we worried that they're going to open them? And as why can't we give them sealed things of wine? So the answer, mishum shayacha. Because there's this little hole that people make in these barrels where they would smell the wine from. And because of those little holes, we're worried that the non-Jew might widen the hole a little bit and then he'd be able to get in. The hole's not wide enough to do nisuch. But maybe he'll widen the hole a little and that won't go noticed and he'll be able to do nisuch and that's why we're worried. So in the end, the Gemara says, even though really there's less reason for concern, however, they found this one issue where there's this little tube, this little hole where people would smell the wine from. Because remember, why do they need to smell the wine? To know if it went bad. So they would use that for smelling the wine and because of that, we're worried that maybe they'll widen the hole, they'll do nisuch and that's why we can't do it. That's what the Gemara ends with.